Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Monday, March 20th. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Mike Agavino, and we are once again without wingman Woody Overton, who's home nursing his wounds, getting our constant deliveries of alcohol from Grizzly. And he may never come back, Jim.
Let's hope he comes back really soon. And
the audience is very much hoping he comes back.
But hey, we're bringing you the current crime, regardless.
Let's turn to an interesting story out of Texas. So, and this is about a guy that allegedly imprisoned a woman who he was having a relationship with, or at least at one point was having a relationship with. He imprisoned this woman inside of his mobile home before she was able to call for help when he left for work. So I guess after a certain point in time, length of time of being held prisoner, basically, she decided to reach out. So he was charged with kidnapping last week after allegedly imprisoning a woman inside a Houston area trailer park. The 32-year-old woman allegedly called police for help after Abraham Bravo Segura, age 42, went to work. When officers arrived, a female stated through a window that she could not get out of the home because the door was locked from the outside. This is according to a Harris County deputy, Thomas Gilliland. Gilliland says the trailer home had burglar bars on the windows and a padlock attached to the front door. According to a probable cause order, all of the exits to the trailer were locked, and the fire department had to use power tools to cut through the burglar bars to gain access. Three guns were found inside the trailer. The woman alleged that she's been in a dating relationship with Segura for 4 years, but that she was only able to walk around in the home and could not leave the mobile home unless she was accompanied by Segura. She told deputies he would threaten her if she tried to leave. No real time frame has been established as to how long this was going on, but apparently it was going on for quite some time. There are witnesses in the neighborhood that said they had occasionally seen her outside of the home, but that was rare. Segura was arrested on Wednesday and charged with one count of kidnapping. He's being held on a $180,000 bond, and the woman is currently staying in a woman's shelter. Segura has hired an attorney by the name of Brennan Dunn, who believes that Segura is innocent and is going to be exonerated. He says, I've spoken to my client and I have the utmost confidence that more evidence currently being investigated will result in the exoneration of Mr. Segura. I look forward to yet again proving that the state, in an effort to curry public favor, moved too quickly to charge my client without having vital information. I don't know how much more information is needed than the bars on the windows of the trailer and all the locks on the exterior preventing anyone from getting out of the inside. I don't know how you work your way around that one.
Yeah, that's just an insane story. I mean, it's she was in prison in her own home with a guy obviously who has many, many problems. Just crazy.
But she defined it as a dating relationship for 4 years. So presumably from – and that's a quote of hers. There was a point where there was a normal relationship and they were dating. So somehow it went from a normal or semi-normal dating relationship to all of a sudden she is his house prisoner in the trailer.
Just crazy. Total control.
Can't wait to find out more about that one.
Yeah, so we're going to move on, y'all, to a story you're going to want to hear about Tyson Foods. And how many of y'all out there like Tyson Foods? Of course, they're famous for chicken hot dogs and a ton of other things. Tyson, very well known, has a lot of respect in that industry and very successful business. Now, no member of that family likely is going to want to bring any shame to that name, but that's exactly what happened on November 6th of last year to John R. Tyson, who is the CFO of the meat giant and great grandson of the founder, who was John W. Tyson. The younger John wandered into a random person's Arkansas house early in the morning. He was drunk and proceeded to get undressed. He made his way to a bedroom and he went to bed. Now, when the homeowners realized a stranger was sleeping Goldilocks style in their home, they called police, of course. And the police arrive. The residents informed them that the door was unlocked. They went in. And Tyson was not charged with breaking and entering, of course, because the door was not locked, but he was charged with public intoxication and criminal trespassing. In addition to the expected backlash, the fact that he only had this position since last September became a pretty serious concern to investors in the meat giant.
A quick question. I mean, this kind of thing every so often happens, right? Somebody gets completely plowed and makes a mistake and thinks something is their house or their apartment or what have you, and they find it unlocked and they go in and they find their way to bed. So this guy hadn't, hurt anyone. He hadn't stolen anything. I'm just wondering, if it were me and something like this happened, I'd get a huge laugh out of it. Well, they would never find my door open, but I'd be entertained by it. I don't know that I would be looking to have the guy charged and create all of this trouble. Maybe only because, at least in a younger version of me, this was entirely possible. I think if Woody was here, he would probably say a younger version of him.
I think he has done this that before. Entirely, I think we talked about that possible. Once.
So they came down pretty hard on this.
Yeah, they did. And look, man, if you come in my house and you start taking off clothes, you're going to have a bullet in your head. I can tell you the second you walk in, you won't even have time to take them clothes off. So, hindsight's 2020, and looking at this now, you would probably say, I could see how that would happen or whatever, but it was actually a serious situation. I mean, he could have been shot and killed, obviously. Yeah. But he said during an investor conference that he was embarrassed and that he wanted to take responsibility for his actions. He wanted to apologize to the investors, obviously. And he said he wanted, to basically make sure the investors heard it directly from him and that he's committed to making sure that it never happens again. I bet he is. I mean, that's a pretty bizarre situation now.
Well, this is a really interesting situation. I know a little bit about these kinds of things. So this company for years, I'm sure, was the family business in Arkansas and got to the point where they decided to start taking capital from the public markets through an IPO, right? Or maybe there were stages
going
in between
through expansion where, or something.
Yeah. So, but there's a lot of ways where that gets done, but yet the family retains control at a board of directors level, and retains control at a decision making level, even though part of the company, if you will, is what they call in the public float. So a portion of the company trades publicly, but yet the family are still the controlling shareholders. And so the family still has a lock on decision making. And in those kind of situations, you often find a little bit of nepotism. And it would certainly it certainly appears that that, you know, the John R. Tyson might not have been totally qualified yet to take on the role of CFO within this big a public company, but being part of the Lucky Sperm Club and having the last name Tyson probably got handed that role long before his time. And so he ends up in a drunken stupor doing this thing. And now he's put in front of their investors to try and instill some confidence in him because he's relatively new to the CFO position and he's basically begging forgiveness. That is, that definitely, again, I've worked in this exact environment for a few years with a company that had a public float that had members of the family in all kinds of different jobs they were unqualified for within the business. And it really makes for a very messy thing. And, you know, and it's sort of like, watching Succession on is it HBO or Showtime? I think it's HBO, show Succession. I don't know if you watch it. Okay. But there are members of that family. It's a media company controlled by, public, but controlled by family. And you have members of the family who are competent and scheming. And then you have members of the family who are completely incompetent and scheming. And it makes for a really great watch in the case of Succession. In this particular case, you probably have a bunch of employees at Tyson Foods, thinking that the family's maybe gone.
Well,
a little too far here.
And, it's interesting that you bring that up. And I have a little experience working with kind of on the other side of that. I worked for a family-owned company for almost 25 years and rather large for family-owned companies in that it was about $100 million a year revenue company. Now, everybody in that company from a family standpoint was very qualified and there was none of this tomfoolery that you see here. There was no one in a nepotistic position that didn't really deserve to be there and know what they were doing. As a matter of fact, this company was so adamant about it that the original founder of this company made all his kids go to work for competitors' companies first so that they would see what it was like to work for other people. It was very important. So that's kind of the right way of doing that. And I remember having a conversation one time and the company I worked for made a great profit and they knew how to manage money. And I said, man, you need to start issuing some stock to all of us and we want to buy into it. And he said, Jim, you know why companies go public? And I said, why? And he said, they want to expand and they don't have the money to do it. We have the money to do it. We're not going to give it to anybody else. And that is the way to properly run those things. So just a crazy situation there. And then to tap it all off, though, you might be surprised to know that they're not the only Arkansas meat company in a little bit of a bind. There's a company there called Beyond Meat. And their former chief operating officer left the company after being arrested for assault. What did he do? Well, he was arrested in September on charges of terroristic threatening and third-degree battery after he bit a man's nose following an Arkansas college football game.
Nice.
Suey, as my Arkansas friends would say. He was released on an $11,000 bond, according to court documents. So apparently this is something in the Arkansas meat industry that these guys can't get right.
And so this guy, Ramsey, got fired for biting the whoever he
– It doesn't say whether he got fired. It just says that he left the meat company. I would imagine he was asked to leave. but definitely not working for them anymore after biting a man's nose following it. You know.
I mean, but it is Arkansas, and it was a bite on behalf of Razorbacks. I'm a little surprised that he got shown the door there, but at least there's not – it doesn't – oh, he did get a third-degree battery charge there.
Yeah.
So both of these actually ended up being crimes, but I mean, I think the larger crime in the main story on Tyson is nepotism and putting an unqualified family member in a role like that, and hopefully he grows into it.
I hope so.
On a lighter note, let's travel to Oklahoma, where you're not going to believe this one. 53-year-old Oklahoma man Larry Doyle Sanders was going, I think they call it hillbilly hand fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch that show?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
So this is a big thing in them parts. And I've watched it a few times. It's pretty cool how they do this. But anyway, he was going hillbilly hand fishing last summer. And at the South Canadian River with his friend, Jimmy Knighton. The two eventually got into a big argument. So big an argument that Sanders strangled Knighton to death. Now you might ask, what could cause such a significant argument between hillbilly hand fishing friends? And Sanders came home and told his daughter what he had done. She called the police. The police went and found Knighton's body the next day near the river. Sanders told the authorities, here's the reason for the big fight, that Knighton had threatened to feed him to Bigfoot. Knighton had threatened to feed him to Bigfoot. And because of the threat of being fed to Bigfoot, he decided to kill him in self-defense.
That's love.
Knighton's murder was brutal, according to police reports. Sanders struck his friend with fists and sticks, and the two fought for a long time before Sanders finally squeezed the life out of Knighton. According to Sanders, Knighton had summoned Bigfoot to kill him, and the monster appeared before Knighton attempted to escape. So not only was the threat of Bigfoot made, apparently Bigfoot was front and center on scene. Not wanting to be eaten by Sasquatch, who would want to be? Sanders murdered Knighton so that Bigfoot would focus on the easy prey. Oh, so the idea of murdering Knighton was so that Sasquatch would have something to eat that wouldn't fight back. I mean, that makes sense. Self-defense. That is naturally self-defense. Despite that incredibly logical story that normally would get somebody freed, Sanders is facing murder charges.
You can't make that up. I thought
Bigfoot was Northwest. Oklahoma is a is Bigfoot territory.
It must be because he was able to summon him pretty quick. I mean, you can't make that up. And then Sanders to say, you know, I was being forward thinking, and I knew if I killed this guy, I mean, who are you going to go for if you're Bigfoot? Someone that can fight back or someone already dead?
God, I hope this goes to trial. I mean, I hope this goes to trial, and not, you know, I hope this guy doesn't go for insanity, but. Can you see the defense putting on this? The defense is presenting fake footprints in the mud of Bigfoot and, you know, all this stuff to say that Bigfoot was there. And I think there have been some court cases involving the existence of Bigfoot and lawyers trying to present proof of his existence. But that is too much.
Totally bizarre. And, you know, they had a show years ago with
Finding?
Yeah, and it gets squatchy. It's time to get squatchy. And I mean, it's just insane. Just insane. Although I was entertained by the show, I must admit.
I never caught an episode. I think it's still out there, though. I may have to.
Well, All right, y'all, we're going to tell you about a little local to us crime news anyway. In Lafayette, Louisiana, a man who mimicked Jeffrey Dahmer in an attack on a gay man has pled guilty in court. A Lafayette man who admitted in federal court that he lured a gay man to an isolated home and attempted to murder him has pled guilty to parallel state charges on Wednesday and was sentenced to 45 years in prison. Chance Seneca, 21, was sentenced to 40 years without the benefit of parole, probation, or suspension of sentence for attempted second-degree murder, and then they tacked on another 5 years for committing a hate crime. The sentences will be served consecutively. So Seneca's entire period of state incarceration will run concurrently to his 45-year sentence in federal court. The 21-year-old was given credit for more than 2.5 years he spent in custody, and he was originally arrested in 2020, which will slightly reduce that prison time. Now, the sentence was laid out in a plea agreement, and 15th Judicial District Court Judge Royale Colbert presided over the plea change. The procedural matter was handled in about 10 minutes. The victim, Holden White, and his family were not present after previously giving extensive statements in federal court. Seneca met White on 2020 through the dating app Grindr. You familiar with Grindr?
Shocking.
Never heard of Grindr. A dating app geared towards
You've never heard of Grindr?
Never heard of that.
Really?
No.
Okay.
A dating... and I can see why, getting to this next sentence. A dating app geared towards LGBTQ people. He used the app to groom White and gain his trust, promising to take him on an old-fashioned date. The night of the date, Seneca picked up White, brought him to his father's home, and proceeded to force him into handcuffs at gunpoint, strangled him, bludgeoned him, and stabbed him. He then attempted to dismember him, an act inspired by serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, who Seneca idolized. He was unable to complete the crime, called 911. The 21-year-old later admitted to investigators he targeted two other men the day before, but had been unable to go through with his plans. He was unable to complete the crime and called 911. The 21-year-old later admitted to investigators he targeted two other men the day before the attack, but had been unable to go through with the plans.
I'm sure Dahmer has disowned him as a mentor based upon his inability to execute.
Yeah, I mean, wow. All, you know, these dating apps, man, we cover current crime here, and you see a lot of current crime with people meeting people on dating apps.
Well, and that's why I'm surprised you haven't heard of Tinder, because it's...
well, this one was called Grindr.
I've heard of Tinder. I'm sorry. Grindr, I meant. Because
I've never heard of that.
You hear those kind of things coming from there. It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house, and when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard, and when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
So let's go to a story with a happy ending, okay? And this is a 13-year-old girl who was abducted in Dallas, who was actually found safe in North Carolina. The missing 13-year-old from Dallas was found last Friday, locked in a shed 1,000 miles away from home after being abducted and then raped by a man she met on a social media platform. Don't know what platform that one was. The police found the teen in Lexington, North Carolina, in a locked out building on a property. Jorge Ivan Santos Camacho, age 34, was arrested on charges of abduction, human trafficking, and statutory rape, with other charges still pending. He's currently being held in Davidson County Detention Center on $1,250,000 bond. Here's the story here. On Friday at 6 p.m., the sheriff's office in Davidson County got a call from the Greensboro FBI. The Greensboro FBI let them know that a teen had disappeared from her home in Dallas, Texas, that she had been chatting with a man she met on a social media platform. Surveillance video showed a car by the teen's home that was registered to an address in North Carolina. So the connection between her behavior on social media and who she was interacting with, and I'm sure the actual communication there, and the surveillance video that showed a car with North Carolina plates in this Dallas neighborhood. Those two things were connected. They traced down the car from North Carolina, and this is what happened. They got an address, and investigators surveilled the property in North Carolina and pulled over a car leaving the property, doing a routine traffic stop. And police said after speaking with the driver, investigators were able to determine that the teen was being kept in a building on the property. Others who lived on the property told the Dallas television station that Camacho lived in the shed on the property, so the room where she was being held, that it was his room. The teen girl had been missing since March 1st. The sheriff said that the department's caseload involving minors and social media platforms has skyrocketed since 2021. Boy, that's fortunate. I mean, that's really fortunate. So were it not for that surveillance video that showed the car with the Carolina plates, she's no longer with us.
That's right.
So great work to bring that to a happy conclusion.
Absolutely. And another little story here for you. An 11-year-old boy was detained when he punched his grandmother for refusing. Why are you laughing? For refusing to buy him a toy at a department store. Now, the troubling incident unfolded at a department store in Ohio. Local police were sent to the scene after a call came in regarding an assault in progress. The boy tried to land a second blow, but his grandmother managed to flee away from him.
Fast grandma.
A witness called 911, and Ohio police took the boy to the Juvenile Justice Center in Montgomery County. While it's unknown whether the grandmother was seriously hurt, she claimed she was afraid of her grandson. The 60-year-old grandmother told officers that the child punched her in the nose when he asked for a toy, and she said no. Spoiled anyone? I mean, really?
Well, it depends what the toy was.
Yeah, well, while it remains unknown if the male desired it for himself or he wanted it as a gift, come on now, he wanted that for himself. You don't punch your grandmother if you want to buy it for your best friend, right? The toy in question was a Rock'em Sock'em
robot. There you have it. Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Did you ever have
I did.
Were you good?
I was good.
I was a badass with that
thing. I was pretty good with it.
Okay, then the boy's 11. First of all, I don't know a grandma that refuses that her 11-year-old grandson and, you know, Rock'em Sock'em robots. I mean, come on, grandma. I would have. I'm not justifying the punch. I'm just saying that we're talking about robbing masculinity from our youth in this country. Every 11-year-old boy should have Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Yeah.
They should.
That's right.
And so this red-blooded American 11-year-old wanted his Rock'em Sock'em robots, and grandma denied him. Does it justify the punch?
No.
You don't punch grandma. But
you don't ever punch grandma.
I like that she fleed. She ran away.
He was going to get her a second time too. He's little Mike Tyson here, and you know, just a crazy story.
Okay, but who calls 911 watching a grandma and her, you know, 11-year-old grandson in a fight? I mean, you walk over, you grab the kid, you pick him up, you separate him from grandma, and you figure out what the hell is going on. That requires 911. No wonder our police can't get to real crimes in a timely amount of time. They're busy responding to 911 calls over Rock'em Sock'em robots. Stupid.
Just totally, totally. So
that just took over the dumbest story of this episode. It surpassed the murdering hillbilly hand fishing guy who was afraid of Bigfoot. I mean, it's close.
I don't know it's if close. It yeah, quite it reaches that level.
Probably doesn't pass that,
but it's close.
It's second. It's
yeah. Second. Yeah. So Mike, have you ever heard of Andrew Tate?
I've heard of him. I don't know much about him. I know the kids do a little bit, and I saw one thing on Twitter last week that caught my eye, but I'll be right here with the audience here. Educate us.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard of Andrew Tate or just really vaguely about him, likely if you have kids under the age of, say, 21, they have in most cases. Andrew Tate is a influencer of sorts on not only social media, but he has several companies that he also owns, and he is a extremely wealthy guy, an extremely controversial guy. He has self-described himself as a misogynist, and he first rose to fame, y'all. He was on Big Brother, the British version of Big Brother, in 2016. That's kind of where he got his name out. He was a kickboxer and actually a well-respected kickboxer. He was good. His record was something like 49-1 or somewhere around there. Big guy, 6'3", good looking, and kind of had all the intangibles. A very, very well-spoken individual as well. Now, he started gaining a lot of traction on Twitter and on TikTok, especially. And he would make these little TikTok videos, and he would be talking to younger males. You know, he'd be talking to these 17 and 18 year olds. And Tate was a big and is a big believer in the masculinity problem. He thinks that a lot of society's problems are caused by the demasculization of men. And so he promotes a lot of that. Now, on the face of that, that all sounds great and good. You know, to those ladies out there that like a masculine guy, that all sounds like a recipe for a good thing. And maybe you'd want your 17, 18 year old to hear some of his message. On the other side of that, he is very controversial because he says a lot of things that a lot of females and males who disagree with him would say were very condescending to women. So I have a couple clips before we get into Andrew Tate that we're going to play. And the first one I'm going to play for you right here is a clip of him. And he was asked a question about great advice he had had in his life. And he discusses how to figure out manipulation and when somebody's manipulating you, how to deal with that and kind of turn it around on them. And this would be a clip that I would say I kind of agree with Tate on a little bit. So we're going to play that for you first. It's right here.
What's the best advice you ever remember receiving?
That's hard because there's so many answers. About 17 answers just went through my head. I can't possibly choose one.
One from your dad.
Allow manipulation to find out where your enemy wants you to go, then use your mind to break the trap and punish the perpetrators. And I have to elaborate. Sorry, I know
it's fine. General,
but the reason that's so important is because if you don't know where your enemy wants you to go, you might end up there on accident. If you don't allow your enemy to tell you what they're trying to do to you, you might accidentally end up where they want you to be. So you sit there and you listen to their bullshit head to toe and you say, why? You don't even ask why. Listen to their bullshit head to toe and say, okay, I agree. What do you want me to do? And when they tell you what they want you to do, you use your mind to break the trap and you punish the perpetrators. Because once they've told you what they want you to do, you can make sure you never fucking do it. If you never get them to tell you that, they might get you there another way. You might take the B road, right? They might say, we want to get him to do this way. He doesn't believe it. Well, then let's tell this lie. Ah, now he's doing it. So you allow manipulation. Find out where your enemy wants you to go and use your mind to break the trap and punish the perpetrators.
Now, if you just listen to that, you know, and whether you're male or female, it'd be hard to disagree with. That's a pretty good strategy to figure out if someone is trying to manipulate you, although intense. You can probably already tell that Tate is a very intense individual. So that being said, there have also been a lot of things, as I've said, that he's talked about females and where he believes their role in society should be. And I'm going to play another clip for you. This clip would show you the other side of Tate and maybe something you wouldn't agree with.
How do you feel about women serving in the military and stuff like that?
I think that's the biggest mistake a female could possibly make. Why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah.
One, you're shit at it.
Yeah.
But
that's the first thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like anyone who's out here who's actually been through something, as I have, knows that when the fight goes down, you need the women protected in a way. You don't need the screaming in your ear, right? So they're shit at it. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And the second thing, it's part of the PSYOP. They're masculine. In the Western world, they are trying to turn females masculine. It's not an accident. None of this is an accident. All of this is done very, very purposefully. And it's to destroy the will of man. The reason I feel compelled to say the things I say and do the things I do, et cetera, is because I live in a country where there is no femme-centric government that's going to come and destroy me. And also in my relationships with females, there's no woman telling me, Andrew, just put the mask on. Andrew, just be quiet. Andrew, it's late. Don't lose your job. Andrew, the kids, blah, blah, blah. They're just sucking men down the pit.
Okay, so you just heard that clip, and that's something that I didn't like. I'll be honest with you. I think that he is not giving, number one, enough credit to females. And I know a lot of badass females in this world that would be just fine standing next to Tate in a foxhole and all of those sorts of things. And I think the issue with that clip for me, Mike, is he is prejudging females as a species. And I think that's kind of an issue. I think anytime you prejudge anybody, it's an issue. And then to put it out there, yeah, there's some guys that I know that I wouldn't want in a foxhole next to me. And not every woman that's going to be in a foxhole next to me is going to be screaming in my ear panicking. And I think he threw them all in the same pot.
Yeah. The chauvinism is pretty heavy there. How does he describe himself? What is he supposed to be? What's his mission?
So his whole mission in life is that he wants to bring back the masculinity in men. He feels like this generation specifically coming up is a bunch of softies.
Right. As males. And he's correct about the emasculation of manhood here in this generation.
Yeah. And I think that's where Tate had become dangerous, is not everything he said was inaccurate or false, but he would follow up, Mike, with something that I could respect. Like, hey, a man should stand up and fight for a female. If he sees her getting, you know, abused, he should push her to the inside of a street and walk on the outside in case a car is coming, that kind of thing. Those are all great. And I agree with those 100%. But on the other side of that, he would say, and I'll give you a couple of quotes from Andrew Tate. He would say, women were intrinsically lazy, and there was no such thing as an independent female. He would say, I'm a realist, and when you're a realist, you're sexist. There's no way you can be rooted in reality and not be sexist. I'm absolutely a misogynist. So on its face, comments like that are bad, right? But Twitter is not going to shut me down, or TikTok or Facebook or anybody, because Jim Chapman said that, because Jim Chapman doesn't have 12.6 billion views on his TikTok, but
his 12.6 billion
with a B
of his TikTok
with a B. As a matter of fact, so powerful, his net worth is estimated at over $300 million.
Okay, so I was going to ask you where this guy's wealth came from, because just the kickboxing career and a Big Brother season does not make one ultra rich. So
that's
he's
correct.
Made his money as a social media influencer, basically.
Some of it. And Tate was smart. He initially made a little money kickboxing. From there, he took that money and he took to social media. He had a great look. He had a great voice. He was a quick, fast thinker, and he knew that. And so he capitalized on being an influencer. Through that, he made millions. But he was a business guy, and he actually had 75 women working for him in 4 locations and was doing $600,000 a month from webcam.
What is his crime? Where's it? I mean, I know crime enters this. Where does crime enter it?
In April of 2022, they raided Tate's home. This was like the first raid they ever did on his home. It was searched by Romanian police. And what they basically said was they were investigating claims of human trafficking and rape. Now, Romania has a directorate for investigating organized crime and terrorism, which is known as that acronym, DIICOT, and they pointed to the raid as evidence their investigation has been ongoing for months when they arrested Tate most recently. As a result of some evidence taken from that raid, he actually had it was more or less a back and forth with a lady who was a climate campaigner. Big climate change person, and her name was Greta Thunberg.
I remember she got him good on this one. That one I did see.
Yeah, so she basically shared a picture of, or Tate shared a picture of himself standing next to a Bugatti, and he was kind of braggadocious as he is, boasting about his cars and asking for his email address so he could send her details of their emissions that these Bugattis emit. And look, that's funny. I mean, that's just all in fun.
It actually wasn't as funny as her response, though.
Right. She replied and basically had a fake email address mocking him, and it ended with the words, getalife.com. Becoming one of the most liked tweets in history, believe it or not.
Well, what she did was she made a small penis joke in reaction to the Bugatti brag. So that's what got that thing to go viral. I mean, she was cute in her adolescence. She's become, in my opinion, pretty annoying out there. Yeah. But this time she, she squared off and held her own, more than held her own.
Yeah. And, you know, at the point that this is going on, the police were already kind of on the case with him. Obviously, they had already searched his residence once. And so he got frustrated with her. He follows up with a video. He's smoking a cigar and he tells her to get a life. He is past a stack of pizza boxes. And this is the key. And they had Romanian branding. And the Romanian branding on the pizza boxes is how police figured out where he was, because he was kind of, they claim he was in hiding at that time.
Hiding from Romanian
police, because they had already searched his home. He knew that in his mind, the Matrix was coming after him. And so he kind of went into hiding, and it was those pizza boxes that gave him away. So in December 9th of 2022, that's when they arrested him and his brother, and then two Romanian women in addition. And as we said, they got held on suspicion of human trafficking, rape, and forming an organized crime group. Initially, they said, hey, we're just going to detain you for 24 hours. They then extended that to 30 days. And then in January, they added another 30 days. And so February 27th, they were supposed to get out. Well, the Tate brothers appeared in court on January 10th, lost their appeal about the extension of all these, detained time frames that they were being detained. And they have lost yet another request. And so at the end of March, they go up again to try to get out of this, or at least get released on bond. Mike, there's not a whole lot of evidence of what they're talking about they did. They do say there's five women that are saying they were sexually exploited by Tate, but they're not saying he did something to them sexually. They're saying he exploited us by putting us on webcams and things like that.
So when they say webcam, this is like a fans only kind of thing that
only fans,
only fans, whatever. It's
similar to that.
So you can tell Mike doesn't go on these.
That's right. It's similar to that, except for these are live. So it's webcams where, and I only know this from the news, y'all. I don't have any personal experience, but these women are on a live camera and they're in a room and they're doing things to themselves or with somebody else. And, you can communicate with them.
Okay. So I started watching this because I was looking for your Malaysian airline documentary, which I did find and watch, by the way, and I'm more confused than I've ever been after watching that thing. But but I happened to stumble on a documentary on Pornhub.
I saw they had one. I hadn't watched it, but I saw it was
I just have no understanding of how all of that worked, and so it's interesting, but it sounds like the thing you're talking about here is basically what Pornhub does, because that's live. I guess
basically
it's
the same thing, but it was Andrew Tate's company, right, and not okay. Pornhub's.
Okay, Pornhub's legal in Canada, right? They're based in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So I don't. There's nothing illegal about that business, I don't think.
No, I think the illegality of all of this is Tate. These five women are saying that Tate forced them to do these things. But, so he puts them in a room, falsely imprisons them, and say, you've got to sexually gratify yourself on camera or we're not letting you out of here. This is the claim, and I'm paraphrasing. But
but has he been charged with those crimes? I mean, is these things that keep getting kicked 30 days, they're getting kicked 30 days at a time because
yeah, that's the question. There's not a whole lot of information on how they can do that. And of course, this is Romania. Their laws are different than in the United States. Maybe in Romania, you can detain a judge, even just a detained situation. You don't necessarily have to be charged. You can be detained until they garner more evidence. Maybe.
I think this is a really interesting story. I think we should dive really deep here. You know, Romania is an interesting place. A lot of people don't know this, but Bucharest, Romania, is a really big tech hub, and it's a location internationally where a lot of companies, including those matrix companies that he's talking about, the Googles, the Metas, the TikToks. I don't know about TikTok necessarily, but they will farm out lots of work to tech centers like that. And so it's logical. It's a logical spot for him to choose to be, given that and given the favorability of the laws, it sounds like. But man, this is it's intriguing. I mean, a documentarian is out there guaranteed right now working hard at figuring out this whole thing and where it goes. You got somebody who's worth $300 million being held in a Romanian jail. And maybe that's exactly where he deserves to be. But yeah, I don't know.
Not a whole lot of information outside of that. So as we get it, you'll get it. That's your stories for today, folks. And hopefully next time we join you, we'll have a really deep, gravelly voice.
We'll have one Woodrow Overton in our presence.
Yeah, Woodrow. Get back over here, Woodrow. I'm sitting in your seat right now, by the way. It's quite comfortable.
He is. He's done several shows from your seat.
Yes, I have.
I think you're going to have to fight to reclaim that seat, Woody.
So we appreciate y'all listening, subscribing. We get a lot of comments on Facebook. Hey, good or bad, we'll take them, right?
I take the good.
I'll take them all. I mean, I like to know what people out there are thinking. But we appreciate y'all watching. Hopefully we've been able to, in the Woodster's absence, at least keep this thing from sinking. Right, Mike?
Keep it on the rails.
Keep it on the rails. We appreciate it. Please continue to like, comment, subscribe, tell your friends, all that good stuff. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Show business.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.